This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Red Sox front office report for likely the final time this regular season, brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. TimeoutMarket.com, also brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. And Craig Breslow joins us this morning. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Great. Alex Cora, you just heard Alex Cora say that there was not much of an expectation outside of the building that the Red Sox would be playing meaningful games this time of year. So I guess I would ask if that's kind of the outlook of the organization, which is that this team did better than expected.
Well, you know, I think ultimately we have to measure the success of our season in wins and losses, and whether or not, you know, we met our goal of getting to the postseason, giving ourselves a chance to play for the World Series, and we didn't do that. So, you know, I think while we can look at some individual performances that were really positive, and overall I think the health of the organization's in a really good place, I think we have to all agree that the season was disappointing and that we didn't reach ultimately what we set out to do.
Craig, how difficult is your job right now when you're coming off a season that's ending like this and you've got free agents like Nick Pivetta, Tyler O'Neill, Kenley Jensen, to name a few, that are headed for the open market? How hard is it for you to be able to keep big names like that on your roster when you guys didn't go out and do what you had hoped for?
Yeah, you know, I think all of those guys contributed to some of the, you know, success that we did have in spurts. Obviously, like I said, not enough in total. But I think if you were to talk to those guys, every one of them would speak positively about their experience here in Boston. Every one of them contributed, and you know, we'll have conversations with those guys and kind of understand whether or not there's a fit here. They've earned the right to reach free agency if that's the path that they want to go, and we have to look to put together the best team we possibly can heading into 2025.
Craig, you told Greg that the team didn't reach its goal of winning a World Series. Did you think this roster was capable of winning a World Series?
You know, I think there were a number of times during the season where, you know, we were playing really good baseball. We were pitching well. We were scoring a bunch of runs. The defense at times let us down, but we were playing with, you know, teams that I think the baseball world viewed as World Series contenders. So, you know, kind of by measures of being able to, you know, play with the Yankees and play with the Phillies and play with the Guardians, like, yeah, I think we were capable of that. Obviously, you need to get in to be able to do that, and we didn't. And I think over the course of 162 games, we saw, you know, or at this point, 159 or 158, like, we saw some of our deficiencies. We definitely have some holes that we need to address, but I think we also saw the core of a really exciting team.
Off-season-wise and free agents that require writing a big check to get and looking at priorities, what do you think are, from your perspective right now, the two big priorities for you positionally for this team off-season-wise?
Yeah, I think we need to figure out how to balance out our lineup. Obviously, it's left-handed heavy, and a number of our young players who will be impacting the big league club here shortly are also left-handed. And so, you know, I think we need to figure out how we balance that out and don't leave ourselves so susceptible to left-handed pitching. And then, you know, we can never have enough starting pitching. We can never have enough quality starting pitching. So I think looking at starting pitching is the other area of focus for us.
Craig, when you look at, regardless of what sport it is, the teams that generally are successful is because ownership is willing to spend a lot of money. Is ownership invested in, this is 3 years in a row that the Red Sox are not going to make the postseason, are they invested financially in this organization when it comes to going out and spending the money that we saw them in years past? Because I think that's a big knock on them now, is that, you know, they're not spending the type of money. Have they told you that they want things to change? They want this team to get back in the hunt, and they are willing to open up the checkbook to bring in elite talent that can help get the Red Sox back to championship contending?
Yeah, the commitment from ownership to get the Red Sox, you know, to get us where we need to go is there, is strong. You know, it's up to me, up to the rest of the front office to, you know, figure out what opportunities we need to pursue. But, you know, I don't have any questions about ownership's willingness to do what we need to do to put the Red Sox back where we belong.
Craig, what happens in the final 2 months of the season with these Red Sox teams the last 3 years? Have you done any internal work on why you, every year with Alex Cora of late, it's been 10 to 15 games over 500 at the trade deadline or All-Star break, and then just the completely opposite effect after the All-Star break? Why does this keep happening?
Yeah, we're looking at a bunch of different explanations for that. You know, I think one thing it seems is that it's not luck, right? You know, in that when this has happened time after time, we have to start to think that, you know, there's something that we can do or something that we're not doing. And so, you know, we're looking at, you know, monitoring workload and understanding whether or not we're asking more of guys than, you know, they're equipped to handle. And if that means that we need to change off-season conditioning or in-season workloads. You know, I think one thing that we can point to is just overall organizational depth. You know, in that when some of our key relievers went down, you know, we had a handful of guys who were able to step up. We also, you know, at times had a pretty significant drop off in talent in terms of who was ready to come up and contribute. And so, you know, I think overall improving the organizational depth, especially on the pitching side, is something that we can point to as, you know, one way that we can overcome some of the struggles that we've had in the second half.
Last one from me. You played the game. You're a student of the game. You work in the game. Is this Shohei Ohtani season the best ever by a Major League Baseball player?
It is really, really impressive. You know, I think the one thing that does stand out is I saw something the other, you know, a couple days ago about how, you know, this season relative to Barry Bonds would have been like the somewhere between, I think, the 12th and 15th best season of Bonds, which maybe adds a little bit of perspective to this. But certainly, like, in today's game, it's as impressive as anything I've seen.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time this season, and we will We will, I'm sure, get the opportunity to do this with you again next year. So look forward to that, and look forward to you writing some big checks as soon as possible.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Can I just say, we're at the buzzer here. I just have one quick question,
yes.
Craig. You guys have said that when the team's core is at a certain point and is worthy of an investment, you will invest into the roster. Has the team and the farm system reached a point where this offseason you feel comfortable in saying that this is a team that you will invest in free agency for?
Yeah, I think you can see the cornerstones you know, have emerged over the course of this season, and the significant steps forward that some of the guys in the upper levels of the minor leagues have made, I think, do, you know, merit the ability to say, hey, this is a really good team. This is a team that we need to supplement. We need to add to it, because we have a chance to do exactly what we're hoping to accomplish, which is compete for World Series championships year after year. You know, and I think there's a lot of excitement around these young guys. There's a lot of excitement around what we think we're capable of doing, and you know, we absolutely need to improve the product we're putting on the field.
All right, Craig Reslow, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Take care.
All right. Some of you, maybe most of you, grew up listening to one voice and one voice only calling Red Sox games on the radio. That is Joe Castiglione, his final weekend. That's it.
For you, it was Abner Doubleday.
That's a good poll, Curtis.
Thank you.
I believe the man invented the game.
He really did.
If I'm correct about that.
I don't want to make fun. It is an awesome event this weekend. Three games, three final games at Jokestig. And I said earlier, Ken might get mad at me, but several A-list special guests will be joining the broadcast over the weekend in celebration of Joe Castiglione's 42 years as voice of the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, only one way to listen, and that is here on the WEEI Red Sox Shaw Star Market Radio Network or on the Odyssey app. And so it is 42 years that Joe has been calling Red Sox games, which is extraordinary. So, all right. We are going to talk golf coming up with Jake Knapp, who's on the tour and is here. Used to be, Shine pointed out, used to be a bouncer. You can see why, Wiggy. Dude is jacked.
Is he?
So we'll get to that coming up. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Red Sox hot streak came to an end last night. 6-1 was the final against the Blue Jays. The guys off tonight before welcoming the Rays to Fenway tomorrow for their final series of the regular season. We just talked to Craig Breslow. If you missed that, you can listen on the Odyssey app. And Caitlin Clark's rookie season has come to an end with the Suns taking out the Fever in the postseason. Clark has said she's not going to play overseas during the offseason, so we don't have a Clark game on the schedule until May. And just to recap her rookie season, she was the first rookie to record a triple-double, a WNBA record for most assists in a season, the record for most threes made by a rookie, the fastest player to 500 points and 200 assists. She helped lead the Fever to their first playoff run since 2016. She set viewership and attendance records across the board, and she's signed a $28 million Nike deal.
And she offended all the women that will benefit greatly from her presence.
In Thursday Night Football tonight, we'll see the Cowboys taking on the Giants in New York. And experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 62 degrees and cloudy. Afternoon high of 69. And this is always the darkest moment for me on the show. We are now in the largest spot in between Red Sox front office reports until next year, and it just brings me down. Like, Thursdays at 9 will never be the same.
I thought you had a sudden urge to go play the slots.
Nope.
I didn't know.
I got to tell you, Willy Wonka's one was calling my name. I said, nope, got you 387.
I was worried about you. You leave a winner.
I got to leave a winner.
Keep that in your pocket.
I
400 bones almost.
I mean, it is going to come in huge.
Okay.
Willy Wonka, $700,000 jackpot.
I know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wiggy, I thought about our golden ticket idea like The Office.
Give it a try, Wiggy, before you get out of here.
I saw on social media.
One slot.
Yell at the slot for not having personality.
I saw on social media a woman was down to her last $3.47.
Yeah.
Put it in the slot. Was in the slot machine, hit for 2-point-something million.
Damn. That could be you. That could be you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's a dream.
So.
And that woman is now back down to $50,000 left.
Hope springs eternal, Coach.
That it is.
All right, Jake Knapp with it.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What's next? We are at Foxwoods for the annual Echo Store Invitational, and joining us right now, direct from the PGA Tour, it is Jake Knapp. Hi, Jake.
How are we doing?
Thanks for... Yeah, how about a round of applause for Jake?
Hey, Jake.
Flew all night to get here. Wisely, you did not have Scotty Scheffler drive you here.
Yep.
I believe you got here on your own.
Got here safe and sound. No stops.
Now you have one win on the tour.
Yep.
Is that I know you won $1.6 million or whatever. Is that enough to fly private, or are you still a commercial guy?
Yeah, I'm still a commercial guy.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I like to live, you know, dangerously and fly that route. When
first class, lay flat beds?
Not a lay flat bed, but nice first class seat.
Jeez.
Okay.
Right.
Can't complain.
First, pleasey.
All right, awesome. This show is on Twitch, and I know you're a big Twitch gamer. Shime is very excited about that. I mean, I want to talk golf, but I think Shime wants to talk gaming. And yeah. Wiggy, too.
Yeah, what game do you play?
Any like first person shooter.
COD?
I'll play some. Yeah, I'll play Call of Duty. I'll play Apex, and then if I need to just kind of take it a little slower, I'll play either like NFL, PGA, something like that.
Mm. How are you at the PGA video game as opposed to in the actual PGA tour yourself?
Not as good as some, that's for sure. I'm definitely not at the highest level, but I'm pretty good.
Do you play as yourself?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like you play as your own character.
Right.
So kind of play as my own guy. And then I think the inside scoop, I know the courses pretty well, so I think that gives me a little bit of an edge.
Are you a big trash talker while gaming?
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
So is Wiggy.
Hell yeah. You know how many 12-year-olds I put in their place?
What a humble brag.
Beat them in
absolutely.
The gulag.
Yeah.
Who else games on the tour?
Mickelson.
Minwoo Lee's a big gamer. I know that for sure. I think Kurt Kitayama plays a good amount. I mean, pretty high number. I'm sure more people than you would assume play in their downtime. It's just something easy to do at night and stay in contact with buddies you don't get to talk to. So
yeah. We were talking about you got your first win in February, but not that or very recently to that, you were a bouncer?
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
I mean, you don't look. I mean, Wiggy, could you throw Wiggy out?
No,
we got the club.
We got bigger guys, but I don't think anybody would really, you know.
I mean, I started out as a bouncer too, so I know exactly
right.
what he's going.
I was more the patio. I was the de-escalator. You know, I was a nice guy. Yeah. Just try to go up, talk to him first.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the bigger guys behind me, but
that's so you were the Swayze.
He was the Swayze.
Have you ever name called anybody trying to get into a bar?
Name called anybody? What do you mean?
Yeah, like called somebody a bad name.
Courtney had a bad experience.
No.
Yeah, recently.
Yes.
Bad experience.
I tried to be as respectful as I can.
So where were you bouncing?
It was a place called the Country Club in Costa Mesa. It was kind of like a nice bar, restaurant that then on like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we kind of like shut down for 20 minutes, turn it over into a nightclub and do bottle service and the whole deal.
That's cool.
Did you think at that time, I mean, I'm sure it was your goal, but did you think you were going to make it, or were you like some guys get close to the point of giving up, and did you always think you were going to make it?
I think I always like, not that I always knew, but it was just like there was nothing else I wanted to do. So it's like I knew that it was the only path for me. It was just a matter of like, all right, it's a little bump in the road. Just got to make some money, keep floating. And, we'll get there eventually. But yeah, I mean, kind of watching guys on TV as you're working or watching highlights, and you're just like, how is that going to be me when I'm here? Because nobody else has really done this. So what kind of makes me think that I'm going to be out there? But you just stick to it and good things will happen.
The family support must be insane, though, going through that, waiting for it. And I know after your win, you talked about your grandfather who you lost. So just the support of your family around you as you were waiting to make that big break, that
For sure. It was huge. Yeah, no, my family's been great. I mean, even, you know, my family's not super wealthy or anything like that, but my brother even said, he was just like, how much are you looking to make doing this, like, each weekend or whatever? And I'm like, oh, you know, X amount of dollars, just make sure, like, at least my home living expenses are paid for. And he's like, I'll help you. And I was like, no handouts. I was like, I'm not taking any handouts. I'm like, this is my gig. I'm doing it. Like, if this is still something, because, I mean, I was 27 and still hadn't made, like, a ton of money up to that point. So I was like, you know, I need to be able to support myself.
How much, because it's interesting to me as somebody who kind of.
Let's be honest. As somebody who is a former professional athlete who has zero respect for the sport.
Well, I don't think they're athletes, but that's different.
Yes.
But I do respect the journey, though.
Let's clear this up.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe you're athletes.
I don't believe all of us are.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, but I
think I am.
You are.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do respect the journey. As somebody who was undrafted, but in the NFL, that's all you got is the NFL. There's no other professional league. I mean, there's a couple now, but where you can make a living, because you talked about making a living. How much practice do you put in a week to say, okay, I can make a living doing this. I can make $150,000 a year doing this and playing professional golf. Like, how much you know, were you good in high school? Were you good in college? Like, I always wonder the journey.
How you get there, the journey.
Yeah, for like, you know, like for golfers, because we all see the Tiger Woods journey, but he's
for
like
sure.
a rare butterfly.
Yeah. I mean, I think growing up in Southern California, it's like one of those places you can play year-round. So, like, it's some of the best competition in the country. So if you're good in Southern California, you're going to beat just about everybody else in every other state, with exception to, like, there's good players in Arizona, Texas, Florida, but those are kind of the core ones where that's where a lot of the good players come from. So I knew once I was a good junior player in Southern California, and I was kind of like one of the guys to beat most of the time growing up. And then you get into college, the thing is, in college now you're playing against every best player like that from every city in every state, whatever, over the last 4 years. So now everybody, and plus some international kids too. Mm-hmm. So I was okay in college. I had a really good year my junior year, and then I decided to turn pro after that junior year, because it's not that I didn't think or I thought I was too good to be in college or anything like that. I felt ready to get on to the next level. I just knew I wanted to play professionally. It was all I wanted to do, and I just didn't see myself spend another 8 months there just kind of going to school. School was never my thing. I just wanted to play golf.
So when you finish your junior year and you do that, so how's your 21, 22?
Yeah, 21.
And how old are you today?
30.
So those 9 years in between where you are and where you were then? How many different tours were you in? Are you traveling the world? What's your life like?
Yeah, I went straight up that summer, so I turned pro pretty much right after Q school, pretty much like January of 2016. Went straight into Q school, didn't get through. Went and did Canadian Q school, didn't get through. Went and did Canadian Tour Monday qualifiers, got into a few events. Went back to Q school for Canadian Tour in 2017, won Q school, played in 17 up there. Didn't have a great year, ended up like hurting my back, so I took some events off. Played a full season up there again in 2018, because that's the route. You know, you could do Latin America or Canadian, then you go to Corn Ferry, then you go to the PGA Tour. So I played up in Canada again in 18, and I felt super ready, super prepared, healthy, everything's ready to go. Played terrible. Lost my status. So,
What was it, the yips?
It was just bad. I don't even know. It was like...
Shime can relate.
Did you not keep your shoulder in?
Yeah, apparently not. My glutes weren't activating. I don't know what was happening.
Your head wasn't down the whole time.
Yeah.
I hate that.
So you can't just, like, go to a tournament, like, when you're professional? Well, like, I know, like...
No, Greg cannot
so,
just
like,
show
well,
up.
Because I don't know what Q school is.
So anybody can sign up and say that they're professional if you want to. Professional just means that you're finally able to, like, accept money when you play well enough at a tournament. But no, you can't just show up. Like, there's mini tour events you can do that too. Mini tour events are just, you're basically paying for that purse. So, like, at a Canadian tour event, you're going to pay like $250 for the week to play in the event. At a mini tour event for 3 days, you might pay $900, $1,200 just to play in the tournament, because it's the players. You're basically just gambling against those guys, and there's just a few guys running the event that are booking the tee times, letting you guys play against each other for 10 grand, 15 grand, whatever it might be. But then, yeah, like, you go to the Canadian Tour, like, the Q school basically is just a qualifying staging where you have to go and play well enough for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and that determines your status for the season. So it might be 170 guys at this Q school. If you don't finish in the top 30, you got no job next year.
Speaking of wagering, playing around with your buds.
Yeah.
What do you play? Like, are you Wolf or like what?
Yeah, we used to play Wolf a lot.
I love Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf was.
I like being the lone Wolf.
I do too.
Yeah,
that was always
same.
Good. I was always a little bit better than my buddy, so I was playing against. The unfortunate thing is, I always got chosen by them, and if I missed the fairway, it didn't matter. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to take Jake, and I'm like, oh, I got on birdie every single hole, so maybe take so and so who's in the fairway. But yeah, we usually play games like Wolf or things like that. Keep it interesting.
Has that journey, the people that are in it right now and haven't maybe broken into the PGA Tour, does LIV help out or hurt those people that are on that track?
I think LIV is like somewhat helped in a way, just in terms of like it's taken people away from the PGA Tour that route. So maybe it's opened up some opportunities for some guys who maybe didn't have the chance, or maybe it's like weakened a few fields here and there. So, yeah, I'd say maybe it's helped in a sense, but I wouldn't say it's helped drastically. Maybe it's taken more guys over to Europe to try to get into that system.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not really sure.
Some guys on the tour appear to be upset with the LIV guys. Are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm still friends with guys that are out there. I have buddies who caddy out there. I think at the beginning everybody was a little upset because people said this is for like the betterment of the game and that sort of thing. It's like, no, it's not. Like, you're accepting it because it's a lot of money, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain amount of money out there. Everybody kind of has their own price in their head. So
you don't think they should have to, like, John Rahm should not have to pay it back to come back on the tour?
Well, I mean, you know, there's things like that. I mean, you know.
Well, maybe
if he's going to accept $500 million and then just if he thinks everybody's just going to welcome back with open arms, I think that's a bit crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Do you like is it possible because I don't know much about golf, but is it possible – do you have to make the or do you have to play on the PGA Tour, or are there other places that you can play and make a good living that that might not be the PGA Tour? You know, like in basketball,
for sure.
A lot of
minus
people go,
live.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, like minus live.
Like so, like Korn Ferry, Canadian Tour. So, like the Korn Ferry, to give you an idea, their purses now are like $1.5 million every single week. So, like if you win, you finish, you get like $300,000-ish or something like that.
Wow.
I want to say. But those top 30 guys are going to the PGA Tour. So if you finish top 30, like, yeah, you've had a good year. You've made some money. But, I mean, I finished 13th, and I think I made, like, 360. But, like, the difference with us is, like, we pay all our own travel. You have to pay your caddy. Like, the expenses are 10x what everybody thinks that they are.
Really?
Yeah. So especially PGA Tour events. PGA Tour events are even worse because, at least with Korn Ferry events, you're kind of just going and playing a tournament. The people who come to watch all kind of just live in the area. PGA Tour events like destination. So people are coming in from out of town. They're booking every hotel, every Airbnb. So, like, everything just costs a lot more, like everything. So, wow. And caddies are more expensive. Like, you pay your caddy more on that tour. They get a percentage of your winnings as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What it, like, it might be a stupid question, but, you know, I have a lot of those.
Yep.
No such thing.
Probably.
I know what a caddy is, but aren't you a better golfer than the caddy?
Yeah.
Well, Jason Tatum's a better basketball player than Joe Mazzulla. Yeah.
But, no, like, with Joe Mazzulla might be drawing up a play. Like, if you're right. a better golfer than the caddy.
Why does he need the caddy?
Yeah, what is
he? He doesn't want to carry his own clubs.
Yeah.
And the caddy reads
30%
the caddy
reads the clubs for you for 20%.
It's like getting a second opinion from a doctor.
For sure.
Am I right?
Like, I have a buddy caddying for me on the PGA Tour. He played, like, lower-level D1 college golf, so he's still a good golfer. And he knows the game well, and he knows me well. I personally, like, you kind of have two routes. You can either go the buddy route, or you can go the professional caddy route. The professional caddy route, you're getting somebody who's probably been to the course a bunch over the last, like, 10, 15 years, something like that, so they've seen it a lot. And you're going to get more information from them, more, like, on-course help. For a buddy, for me, it's like you're spending 20-plus weeks with this guy throughout the year, and you're spending every single day, all day. You better like the person you're hanging out with that much.
Right.
So, for me, I just wanted somebody I got along with, somebody who knew me. Yeah.
So. Speaking of courses, what was your first Masters experience like this year?
Pretty surreal, especially going off. We were the first group off the first day. So that was pretty nuts. I think even just like the practice rounds, being able to just go there. You're allowed 5 visits, like unaccompanied visits, just to go whenever you want to get ready for the event. And I think even just that stuff was just like pretty spectacular. Like, you just, and it's just like that, you walk around certain holes out there and you start thinking about the shots and the history and everything else, and it just feels so surreal.
Did you meet anybody from the Illuminati while you were there?
A couple of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be honest.
It's an interesting place.
Be honest. Did Jim Nantz ever appear out of nowhere just talking to himself?
Just behind a tee box, right. Just randomly commentating on your random Tuesday practice round.
I'm just taking a nap in Butler Cabin.
Peyton Manning walking around.
No, that's right. Goodell's always there, too. Yeah.
Is that your favorite course you've ever played? And what would be like a close second?
I think so. I think that one's probably first. I think after this year, I think Quail Hollow is probably my second pick.
What's the hottest course?
The hottest?
The
most difficult.
Right? Yes.
Pinehurst this year for the U.S. Open was ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what makes...
Because it was so fast.
Yeah, it was just impossible. Like, the place, like the greens. So, like, what makes a course difficult? It's like fast and firmness of, like, fairways and greens, just because, like, once the ball lands and it starts rolling, if you can't control it, if it's just rolling, like, there's just not much you can do. Severity of, like, the rough. So, like, if you miss hit a shot, what's your penalty like? And, I mean, out there it was just 50-50. You have all these little bushes that are planted. So, like, you could end up in a perfect lie in the sand or just be dead behind a bush and have to chip out sideways.
Yeah.
And then just, like, the greens. The greens is just you take a bowl and you turn it upside down, that's what you're trying to hit on top of. So it's like, if you don't hit your spot dead on perfect with the right, not only spin, but the correct, like, the correct shape, height, everything, and it was going to end up knows where.
This tournament today at Lake of Isles, if you were going to go out, what would you shoot at Lake of Isles? Like, are you going to be, you're going to be automatic below par because it's not a tournament course?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If I didn't shoot under 66 or so, I don't know what the course is like at all, but if I don't shoot under 66 or
you're
something
like
that, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. That would be pretty bad.
That's like time.
That's what Chuck tells us.
And that, by the way, you're here because of Echo Store. They're a sponsor, but also so are the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that happen?
I knew the basically, I just knew some guys in the organization, the president and whatnot. He was a member at my home course. We always kind of joked about it. And then when I got on Corn Ferry for the first time, we were just like, yeah, why don't we just like kind of make this deal happen, throw the logo on the bag and the shirt. And that was in 2020. And it's been a pretty cool partnership ever since.
I hope you renegotiated that after you won the event in Mexico.
Somewhat. I get a good deal. You know, I get to go to hockey games. They take care of me. They're the best people. We play, the president these days, he let my caddy stay at his house in Palm Springs for the event we had out there. Like, they're more family now. It's pretty cool.
And after grinding it out for so long and then winning that event, $1.6 million, which, by the way, do they Venmo that, or is that like, does he get a big check, or how does that?
It's a nice direct deposit.
Oh,
it just gets slapped in a week later.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Taxes out, or you have to pay taxes after?
No, you pay taxes later, which I'm doing right now.
Later?
But it's fun.
But wait, you got, like, at your Bank of America account,
yep,
you got a direct deposit of $1.6
million. Yep.
Yeah.
That's
great.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
How do you not?
That's like what Greg gets every 2 weeks.
I called my brother after, and I looked at it, and I just was staring at it in my account. I was like, this is just a fake number. Yeah. That's not even real.
Wow.
What did you pay them taxes?
Yeah.
What did you buy?
I mean, this house. I'm not a fancy guy. I have the same truck, and I bought off my truck. I guess that's what I bought.
You got paid off my truck. Paid off your truck.
Yeah,
I love
smart.
It. Yeah. I love it.
Who's the GOAT? Like in currently?
Yeah,
like you know,
well, he's not a golf guy.
GOAT means greatest of all time.
Yeah, like who would you say is the best golfer
currently
that's playing right now? Currently,
Scotty Scheffler.
Okay.
Yeah, Xander's a close second right now, but Scotty's for sure.
And you're a third.
Yeah, I'm sneaking my way out there slowly but surely.
Who is the most misunderstood golfer? The guy that you got to know and you're like, wow, that's nothing like I thought he was before I started playing.
Oh, misunderstood. That's a good question.
Thank you.
Maybe Keegan Bradley.
Really? Local guy?
I feel like he can get like a – since he's really fidgety and he can kind of take a long time, sometimes he gets a bad rep, and he's the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
So that's a funny thing is a lot of people want to know like who the bad guys are or whatever, and it's like I get the sense that those guys don't last very long out there because it's probably pretty lonely. Everybody out there is so cool. Like, it's such a
– Even Tiger?
I mean, he keeps to himself a little
he
bit
does.
More. Yeah. I got to meet him. I did one of his events in Vegas for his foundation a couple months ago and got to meet him in person, which was pretty cool.
But it's not like – so at Augusta, when you're like when you're in the locker room, you guys aren't chatting and like
– Yeah. No, they definitely are. I mean, I think more so like kind of before the round when you're going like everybody's warming up doing like PT and things like that. Everybody's kind of like laughing, joking. But there's also like kind of their own – Everybody has their own little cliques, you know, whether it's like young guys, older guys, like people from certain areas, like Ryder Cup teams, things like that. Like, there's definitely groups that kind of stick together. But yeah, everybody's super friendly, especially like after I won, all of a sudden get into all the elevated events with all the big names and everybody like that. And like, everybody was super nice to me and welcoming. It wasn't like they looked at me as like who is this guy? So That was cool to see.
Rory didn't have like initiations for you when you got there. No.
He was the nicest. When we played that next week, that was the coolest thing. It was just like playing with a normal guy.
So. I gotta know Patrick Reed.
Never met him.
Okay.
So can't comment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, never met him.
Well, because you said everybody is
Ben. Well, he's not on the PGA Tour.
Right. I know,
so
but
those guys
I didn't
are,
know if you've crossed paths.
Oh. No, I have not.
Mm. Are you guys allowed to have side action during a tournament?
I don't know if allowed is the right word.
Do you?
I personally don't.
You guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard of things.
Yeah, they absolutely call that a Mickelson.
Yeah. I would say this is like in any practice round group, there's no way that anybody's playing a practice round without some kind of money on the line somewhere.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
Even caddies.
Well, it's great having you on.
Yeah, man. Good stuff.
Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. And you'll be over there at the course today?
I'll be there all day.
Are you hitting with everybody on a hole or what?
I think so. I think they got me set up in a par three. So I'm going through some shoulder rehab right now. So unfortunately, I can't not full swinging yet. But Yeah, I'll be able to hit some shots.
Your gamer tag in Twitch, everybody wants to know on Twitch?
Naptime_LTD.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And I will say this about having this interview with him. Like, my perception of golfers has changed.
Yeah.
Because he's like a regular dude.
Yeah.
Where I thought most golf guys were like douchey, stuck up, yeah. Not from uppity places.
Yeah. No right. Douche.
But no, like he. Like
I think there's levels to us.
Right.
You know? I grew up at a public golf course. So
right. Like, know. Yeah, you seem like, you know, yeah. You're just like, you know, like you got to obviously climb right. Your way up the ladder.
You mean he's not like DeChambeau.
I mean, I don't know who DeChambeau is, but yeah. Just has that look. But, you know, good yeah. Luck.
Wiggy just zero respect for the game, Wiggy.
Yeah, and, I'm not a golfer.
And that's okay.
My yeah. Son loves it, though. I'll
you're
tell him I met you.
There we go.
Yeah, I am a critic when it comes to it, but my son loves it. What you do is an unbelievable skill that you have to train and work at, and I give you credit for that. My son, youngest son, loves playing golf. That's all he wants to do. I don't know where he got it from because I can't stand it. But I have to give, you know, like the journey is interesting to see how, you know, how long it takes most guys to get.
They are athletes, though. I mean, I think John Daly
different.
Throws the whole equation yeah. Out.
I think that's why I say that there's definitely a spectrum. Like there's guys that do play golf who are like crazy good athletes at a lot of different things, and
yeah.
You can kind of tell who those guys are, and then there's some guys who aren't. And I think that's the cool thing about the sport is it's all shapes and sizes, and there's all different types of people that do it.
Shime, no question from you today?
Right.
Well, I mean, you guys have been busy yapping his ear off, so okay. I just didn't want to.
You want a little help
in.
With your
enjoying listening?
Little help with your swing, or
yeah. I mean, you are what top 25 in distance off the tee, so I could use a little help gaining a couple yards off the tee.
Okay, I mean, you know, get younger, swing it faster, work out a little bit more, all those good things. I'm trying to do that myself, but you know, a little more distance. I mean, it's really just effort, you know.
Yeah.
When it comes to swinging fast, you just got to swing it fast.
I take the old guy approach now where I like bunt it out there a couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
Iron to the green, two putt, par.
It's kind of like old man basketball.
That's what, you know, the old guy, like, it's what the old guys
it's
do.
Like when you're young, you drive in the lane, you're like getting yeah. Rebounds, and then when you get older, it's like you stay outside, maybe set right. Some soft
learn
screens.
A little bit,
yeah. Little more, you know? Pump fakes.
Yeah. Like feet stay humble. On the ground the yeah. Entire time.
It's like the old bull who walks down the hill, the young bull runs down there. You know how that goes.
100%,
right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's the way it works.
You're a bull that takes the escalator.
All right. Well, we'd love to have you on again.
Absolutely.
So,
I would love to.
Maybe
it's been great.
Talk to you when we get to the season.
And, 100%.
Awesome.
Have him out to Granite Links.
Yeah, we should. Well, no, we should have him to. I'll take you to Granite Links.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
But I have a celebrity tournament. It's in Bermuda this year, so
okay.
If you'd like to join us.
That would be awesome. Yeah, what are the dates on that?
It's in May. So, okay. But we'll figure it. It's midweek.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, when's golf season?
All year, unfortunately.
It's all year.
January to about September, yeah. Usually.
Oh, okay. All yeah. Right.
But maybe we'll work out a trade deal like the Ducks did. Like, I don't have a lot of cash.
Yeah.
But it's for my charity.
Opportunities, yeah. You can call it.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. 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 For the kids.
All right. How about a round of applause for Jake Knapp? Right. Go get him.
Jake, that was great.
Thank you, guys.
Go
appreciate
get him.
It.
That was great.
Go get him. We want you to. Now you got to win. So
yes, sir.
You got to keep winning.
Yeah, and I'm
that
watching now.
All right. Okay.
That's my man.
Yeah. He's right. Watching.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back from Foxwoods. Shime, great pull. That's the outfield and their other hit, which wasn't as big of a hit as Your Love.
No, am that right one.
Am I right about that?
Yes,
outfield?
You are absolutely okay. Right. That's Say It Isn't So. That one's for our guy Rob on a golf course because it's his birthday today.
Oh, hello and happy birthday to Rob on a golf course in the Twitch chat. Excellent. I can't hear Curtis. What's going on with Curtis's mic? Is Curtis's mic off?
I can hear
him. Oh, hey, ho, hey, ho,
hey,
ho,
hey,
ho. Oh, what happened, Doug? Doug muted you.
I feel like I'm on around the whole
time.
Our engineer Doug muted you.
I will not be muted.
Before we go, I want to give away another King's Party package. So if you are the ninth caller on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, you and five friends get to bowl, you get pizza, you get soft drinks. At King's, you pick your location, and then you're qualified for the grand prize, which is a party package for you and nine friends. And I will join you for that at the King's of your choice, and we will bowl and eat pizza and make merry together if you are the grand prize winner. So call now, contest line. Yes, Curtis.
I was going to say before I was muted, happy birthday to Rob, the most loyal listener of this show.
Great guy.
Great guy. He fried a turkey for me. He's an American legend.
He is an unbelievable guy.
Hope you have a good day.
And great show. I want to thank our hosts here at Echo Store, Scott Trank, MJ, Scotty Avisto, everybody at Echo Store for having us here this year, had us here last year. And it's a great event. We're going to go see if we can do some damage to Lake of Isles and see what we can rip up over there. I want to thank Jake Knapp for being on the show.
Yeah, that was really awesome. Cool. I'll watch golf for him now.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, like
all it took was talking to a PGA Tour professional, and you've changed.
Now I know him. You know what I mean? It's right. So now I watch it. But it is an interesting story, his journey and stuff.
A modern day sunshine.
No. A what?
A modern day sunshine.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Like Remember the Titans.
Yes. Great obscure reference.
Yeah.
Courtney,
excellent
obscure reference.
Thank you.
And you learn a lot because I always thought that you could just show up and qualify and that's how you could play if you were a professional.
Right. Wiki's per tier in this episode.
Yes. Well, I didn't know that.
I didn't understand the Q school stuff either. Yeah. So that was interesting.
The PGA Tour runs a Q school.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So guys can I don't know, taking dancing lessons before your wedding.
Like playing AAA ball.
Yeah. They tell you how to do it.
You got to walk before you can run.
That's pretty cool. But he said there are other places you can go, and there were tournaments where persons were making, $1.5 million. You can go and play in these tournaments. And if you win, he said, make a couple hundred thousand. So you can do that and if there's no off season in golf and you're doing that every weekend.
Yep.
It's a good living.
Already.
Somebody who did not end up the last 24 hours in the positive when it comes to money is you. So
I'm gonna have to get my clubs out and start going to some of these tournaments.
Are you gonna wager before you leave? Give it one more roll of the dice.
Maybe I'll get on one of these
slot machines,
right, and throw a dollar in there and see if I can walk away with $2 million.
Okay. All right. We are back in the studio tomorrow. And it is a Patriots Friday, so Jelani Tavai will be on the show at 7:30. Jones and Kiefer next. Thank you to everybody, the whole staff here at Alta Strata for hosting us. And great job by our engineer, Doug, by Amen Corner on Twitch this morning. Shime and Mitch back at the station on Twitch. Shime, great job producing the show.
Feel better.
Even though you're ill. And we will talk to you tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage.